Business Class is brought to you by the Tourism Academy, harnessing the power of science, business psychology, and adult education to advance the tourism industry and build sustainable economies. Learn how to engage your community, win over stakeholders, and get more visitors at tourismacademy.org.
All right, Steve Ekstrom here, host of the Business Class podcast. Today's guest, I've been looking forward to talking with for some time, Executive Vice President at the Greater Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau, Helena Ajakaye. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Stephen. I'm so happy to come to you as now Meet Boston, so you don't any longer have to say the Greater Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau, which is a blessing. So thank you for letting me introduce Meet Boston.
So tell me, what predicated the change to Meet Boston from having been the CVB?
Yeah, you know, this is a 42-plus-year-old organization and so many legacy processes that I think have been wonderful. And I think that when you think about the name and what it might connotate, you know, we say, you know, allow us to reintroduce ourselves. We really are thinking about Boston as a destination with a wider lens and looking at, you know, the 23-plus neighborhoods that we represent, the eclectic culture and tapestry of cultures that come to the city of Boston from all over the world, and the residents. It's a 57% majority minority city that has such a great culture that we want to continue to market. So meet us again. You know us, but here we are. There's more to us. So that's how we came up with Meet Boston, but several other reasons too.
I've seen some news reports about some events that are coming up in the city and some of the business that you guys have landed that really does speak to reinvigorating audiences that might have been overlooked in the past. Is that something you want to talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a beautiful thing where, you know, in the city of Boston, we're known for some of the most amazing things, i.e., you know, we're the epicenter for educational hubs and academia. And, you know, further than that, you know, in terms of our medical industry, you know, we attract a lot of great pharma and medical groups, and that's beautiful. Those are kind of the big ones. But when you think about international, when you think about really creating a welcome center for the city of Boston that sometimes normally maybe has a perception that it's not welcoming to some diverse groups, and that there is not a diversity factor here that's important, and that you can meet here and feel welcomed. We're just in the heels of, I'm coming to you after a 7-plus day marathon and adrenaline and excitement after hosting the 114th NAACP convention here in Boston. And, you know, the last time they were here, Stephen, was 1982. And let's just say the experience in 1982 that was had is certainly not what was had now, but we were really able to showcase a Boston that has grown in so many ways, that has grown and, you know, really highlighting what has always been the foundation of who we are, but really that has, you know, created a welcoming destination for people from all over the world, specifically when it comes to the group that we're talking about, NAACP. It's primarily Black and Brown people, and specifically Black people. Let me just say, my foot was on the ground. We were running and we had a beautiful time and not a single complaint. And that we all, from hotels to restaurants to tours to retail, put our best foot forward to show what we consider the same Boston, but a new Boston that has a wider lens and welcoming everyone from all over the world.
And you've got a remarkable educational background. I noticed, you know, the food executive program from Cornell, the master's from Northeastern. I could keep going for a few more minutes, but how do you think that positions you to be an innovative leader in what you're doing now?
No, thank you so much for asking. You know, I always try to center myself and, you know, aligning with both my professional and personal and philanthropic kind of footprint so that it all kind of makes sense. I'm an immigrant from Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. I came here to Boston in 1987 on a one-way flight to Boston and at Logan Airport and seeking, you know, education and seeking an improved life and seeking to really assimilate with a culture and a group of people that I felt would provide me a good future. At the time, I say I, but my parents, and I came here. And let me tell you, the journey has been incredibly enjoyable. And I think I say enjoyable to say that I've experienced Boston and have consumed Boston from learning the English language. You know, I didn't know a single word or two when I came here, and I was 12. And now that I'm 46, I've gone through undergrad. I've gone through grad school twice. And I have the perspective of being an implant, really, from a distance, from thousands and thousands of miles away. So we just got a statistic, or, you know, kind of an award, that Boston is one of the number one cities, if not the number one city, for international travel. And we know what that means for our industry. So, I mean, I think that I kind of have a personal perspective. I have the academic experience around building business plans and building teams and making sure that standard operating procedures, when you get to this level, I think competency and qualification is assumed. I spent 18 years in a retail, and this is my fourth year here at Meet Boston in hospitality and tourism. But, you know, much of what I do is a lot of the same things, which is building good people that know how to do their job, that love how to do their job, and, you know, creating operation that connects the people, and customer service being a primary goal. And hospitality is exactly that. It's servicing customers from all over the world and within the destination. So I love my job, and that's, you know, that's it.
When you were growing up, what did you think you were going to be professionally?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. So growing up, you know, I knew that anything that I did had to be a direct correlation to making a difference in people's lives. I'm very, very passionate about individuals, but also people as a group, you know, cultures. And so growing up, I think my initial thought was that I was going to go to law school. And my father is an immigrant who, you know, he's one of the first Ethiopians to open a law firm here right on Mass Avenue in Boston. But my plan when I came to the U.S. was either A, become an attorney, or something in public service. You know, I've gone through like nursing, I'd be a nurse, a doctor, but anything that really, really gave me an opportunity to make positive change in people's lives. And, you know, I did that for 18 years. You know, as simple as it is to put cans on the shelf and understand supply chain and the ROI of running a business in different communities, doing brand marketing strategy for 451 Stop and Shops. But now I get to do it all over the world for customers and hospitality. So I feel like I should have been here many, many years ago. So if you asked me, if I knew then what I knew now, and Stephen asked me, Helena, what do you want to do when you grow up? I would tell you that I would be what I am now, which is a passionate, committed, hospitality and tourism executive that, you know, I look forward to the next few years in this industry. I love it here, and I feel like I should have always been here.
What advice would you have for somebody who's trying to find their career path, but has some similar interests, you know, wanting to make a difference and sharing their love for their community?
Yeah, I think, you know, speak to people. I think people are a beautiful kind of way of, you know, understanding what you want to do. Have an open mind. Be honest and authentic. You know, ethics are very, very important. So when you're trying to be or do something, the best thing you can do is talk to the people that are already doing it. Be very loud and open about the work that you want to do. I firmly, firmly believe in mentorship and people who mentor you. So when I came to, you know, Meet Boston, it was literally like a week before the pandemic. It was March 9th. And I was so, so excited to kind of embark on this new opportunity. And I was so excited to have the learning curve and the all of the things that came along with going into a new company, a new industry. And the first thing I did, Stephen, is, you know, leading up to me accepting the job was research. Who are the people that are doing the work I'm doing in other destinations within the destination that I'm in? And I started writing down some names and reading about people, admiring people from a distance. I remember actually literally writing down the name of the person that I wanted to be my mentor. He is now my mentor, Elliot Ferguson. So it's really just saying, listen, folks, I am here. I want to do good work. As I said earlier, you know, after a significant amount of time in the professional world, when you get to a job at this level, competence is known and presumed. But I think it's the, you know, mentorship, it's the allyship, it's making sure that you say, I don't know. You don't know what you don't know. But what I do know is that I'm passionate and I'm a learner. So I love consuming information. I love learning, you know, and from both my counterparts, but also my mentor. So I would tell someone, research who's doing the job. Make sure you align yourself with people that have answers to the simplest questions that will tell you the truth and that will mentor you and help you navigate through your goals and what you want to do.
Elliot is a great person. He's also on our advisory panel.
Yes.
So it's wonderful to hear you. He and I just had a conversation, I think it was yesterday.
Nice.
And he's somebody that I look up to as well. What do you think you, what's the greatest lesson that you've learned from your mentors?
That's a really, really good question, Stephen. I think that, you know, the greatest lesson I've learned is, I think perspective, right? Always assume the best and always listen. And I said, you know, I'm a learner, but also be a learner. And, you know, balance, I think, the goal with the temperature of the culture that you're in. You know, I like, as I said, you know, I'm up at four and I grew up in retail, so I'm ready to go. And I think that understanding cultures of organizations, understanding the ways of working for people, and how do I bring my best self? So I think what I've learned from my mentors and current and past, and I've never really had a past mentor. I feel like once you're a mentor, you're always there, is to really have perspective, give people the benefit of the doubt, have tolerance, have emotional and social IQ. Be open, always assume the best that, you know, folks are trying to do the best that they can. So always try to find, but, you know, on the other flip side of the token is, you know, say what you want, say what you need, be honest, but also make sure that you're very, very clear on how culture is kind of impacting you and how you contribute to it and how you want to make some positive change, and teamwork, right? My mentor always tells me teamwork is very, very important. And I foster that every day in the work that I do, and making sure that I take my team along with me.
Tell me about your best day at work.
Oh, man, that there's a lot. My best day at work is when there is just, I think, synergy cross-functionally around the team, the overall team. You know, we are going through a significant amount of growth here at Meet Boston. Last year, we hired 25 people. This year, we've hired 16 so far going. We have about 10 jobs, you know, right now posted. My best day is when I see the team cross-functionally respecting, collaborating, and working together and succinctly and being able to really champion each other. I think that, you know, going back to that teamwork, critical teamwork foundation, I love when my best days when I see my team supporting one another, trying to find the best in one another, mentoring each other, teaching each other, and making sure that they uplift one another and that they're not leaving anyone behind. It's not a hero mentality. We all need to go forward in terms of accomplishing our strategy. So those are my best days, when there's really great synergy amongst the team, and that we're moving the needle both in our industry, but within our organization as well, in our community.
What are you doing to make sure that community members mm-hmm. are on the same journey with you, facing the same direction on, you know, on the T and getting there together?
Yeah, that's, you know, one of the things that I believe communities need is accessibility, right? Accessibility in that, you know, for me, being here at Meet Boston and being, you know, the first executive vice president, the first Black woman to be hired in that role, I think that, you know, communities need accessibility. They need to see someone that looks like them within the team. And so being available, I'm generally not at my desk, Stephen. You know, I have a community engagement liaison who's phenomenal, but I'm usually out and about and I'm accessible. When I meet someone, I always say, listen, I've had the same phone number since 1995. And so I don't live, you know, behind this glass ceiling of, like, you know, the title. I really get out in the community and everyone can reach out to me. I love educating people. And, you know, the hospitality tourism industry in the city of Boston is the third largest. And most folks, you know, need to understand how to leverage, how to cultivate, how to benefit from that visitor economy, both domestically and internationally. So communities need to know that. And they know that when they come to Helena, they really get the, you know, hospitality tourism 101. And then I tell them what they need to do. It's a combination of deposits and withdrawals. So there's a lot I need from my community. I ask a lot of them, but also I'm available to deposit into them and to provide them the things that they need to make sure that they leverage this industry in an impactful way.
So you've mentioned learning several times.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the key to being a lifelong learner?
Be comfortable with saying, I don't know. Have humility, be humble, and say, I don't know. Make sure that you are constantly available to be taught, to be teachable by anyone, both internal to your organization, but external to your organization, that wants to teach you. I think that, you know, there's moments where you know a lot. And I mean, I feel like at 46, at this point in my career, I know a lot, but I don't know everything. And I don't think I'll ever stop learning or I'll ever know everything. That's what makes me kind of get up in the morning too. It's like, holy cow, today I want to learn something I don't know. It can be something as simple as, you know, something very, very, very one-on-one or minor, but just be open. Learn, because everyone has something to teach you, whether they're entry-level position, executives, community partners, whether it's the city council member, the mayor, the secretary, the doorman, people have something to teach each other, and you just have to be humble enough to learn.
You mentioned your parents earlier. Mm-hmm. How are you most like each of your parents?
Well, so I'm most like my mom. My mom, you know, made a very difficult decision in 1987 to put three girls on a one-way flight on Lufthansa to Boston. And what I learned at that young age about her was that she really thinks about the greater good and really is selfless and will do a lot to make sure that something beyond her, although it may cause her discomfort, it may cause her pain, she can see beyond herself to create, I think, a good thing. And so for my sisters and I, giving up three daughters who are, you know, ages 10, 11, 12 was crazy. I, as a mother of 14 and a 17-year-old, I don't know that I have that grit. But if it came to that, I know I'm a lot like her. So that's what I'm a lot like her. So when I'm in situations where I'm in the room and I know that a decision would probably impact me, but the greater good is something that would, you know, make a significant change for anything, I can get out of my own way, feel the pain, shed a tear, a moment of being upset, maybe privately, publicly, but I know how to have decorum so that the greater good can be accomplished. My dad, you know, I'm a lot like him. I'm basically like a female version of him. I used to walk around wearing his suits as soon as I got to the US pretending to be an attorney. I'm a lot like him in ways that, you know, I'm consistent. I don't give up. Adversity for me is food for the soul. When I struggle, I actually thrive. And my father's a lot like that. So this is a man that was an attorney back home in Ethiopia, came here in 1972 and had to do law school all over again because, you know, that's the big thing. So he came here, started driving cabs, like a lot of immigrants actually that come to Boston, and found his way to Roxbury Community College. And then he, you know, worked at night, overnight at the Cambridge Hyatts and went to school, and he did undergrad over, he did grad school over, he did law school over. So it's that ability to fail and then be okay with failure. And that's how I'm a lot like my father. There's nothing that could happen that I can't say to myself, all right, what does tomorrow look like? And he's given me that. I always say I can survive. I'm my father's daughter. So,
how do you hope your children are most like you?
You know, if there's one thing that, you know, my children, my two sons, I want them to walk in a room and always feel like they belong. And, you know, I think that one of the things that I'm grateful for is that I've walked in rooms where I'm not welcomed. And I've never really honestly felt like I needed to scurry out. I hold my space of discomfort. I want my kids to be in that way. I hope things change when they're older and that they're not the only executive in a room that is a certain way, whether it's, you know, disabled or LGBTQ or Black, whatever the difference is. I would want them to be like me. When I walk in rooms, I mean, I was telling someone this morning, actually, someone on my team, I had approached someone at a meeting today and there's a disdain and I just walk right into it. And I want to know how you're wired. And I want my kids to be able to face adversity and walk in a room respectful agile, not pushy, but take up space. Take up space because you belong. And I think that there's reasons why folks may make you think like you don't belong. So I want them to just, I walk into a fire if I feel like we need to be there and make work happen. And, you know, I want everybody to have that boldness. I get it from my father.
In what ways do you see Meet Boston being an innovation leader in the industry?
You know, I think that we're creating a lot of incredible blueprints for how we go to market, right? How we intentionally go to market and not from a surface perspective. You know, one of the greatest examples is, you know, our partnership model. And I talked about earlier in terms of how to create a community that knows how to consume the visitor economy and being accessible, right? Being able to really, really be a destination marketing organization. And we've innovated towards that. So we've done a new model for our partnership, for our partners. We didn't need to fix anything. The partnership model was not necessarily broken. We had a 98% of retention rate, less than 2% attrition. It was a great model, but we did not represent, the portfolio did not represent the majority minority city of a diverse community. So I think that we're innovating in that way to say, it's okay to say, I don't know, but also we're coming up with solutions. So whether it's in the area of ecotourism, sustainability, whether it's in partnerships, whether it's in workforce development and supplier diversity that we just launched, we're partnering with folks that can help us be innovative and creating sustainable change that's long-term. And I think that's what's going to make Meet Boston, you know, kind of a subject matter expert in some of these areas is that we're really, really committing. I'm committed to the work that the team does in terms of making sustainable change and how we market a destination that is as amazing as Boston, Massachusetts.
If folks want to learn more about Boston or plan a visit, where should they go?
Yeah, please go to meetboston.com. You know, obviously we have all of the incredible social media handles on Instagram, LinkedIn. If you go on our Instagram, you'll either want to come here, you're hungry, you're thirsty. The team does an incredible job, but go on our website. There's plenty, plenty to do. And I think this goes back to what I said to you earlier. Feel free to email any one of us. Email me, I'll connect you. We have a phenomenal team of folks. You know, we built itineraries, not just for big conventions and meetings, but we've done it so granularly for individuals coming from all over the world and everybody's ready. I mean, we have this stuff ingrained in our head and we can put an itinerary for families, for big meetings and small meetings and conventions and groups. But meetboston.com, please go on there. If you'd like anything, reach out to us. I promise you, you'll love it here. It's a beautiful destination.
Fantastic. Thank you for joining me here in Business Class.
Thank you so much, Stephen. I appreciate spending this time with you. It's a lot of fun.